And now I am back with my main man, Rick Spencer. And today is going to be a very special segment, a very special episode of The Mark Haney Show, because we're going to bring Rick back on to have a conversation with me about what we're doing here at Haney Biz, some of the things that we're doing that have been shaped by our philosophies and our belief system that's been built over the last several years, and it's around building the backyard. We'll talk about that on the show today, and if you haven't met Rick Spencer yet, you need to meet this guy because he is a dynamo. He's a guy that's built businesses, sold them, had some great exits, and somehow I was fortunate enough to be able to attract him to what's happening here at Haney Biz. And I'm going to ask Rick to sort of help guide today's conversation because he's actually the architect of something we're unleashing today called the Sacramento Growth Factory. So ladies and gentlemen, Rick Spencer. How you doing, Rick?
It's a great day, Mark, and I'm excited to be here. You know, we have big news to talk about, and so thanks for the great opening. I was thinking a little bit about your openings, and you know, we're both fans of storytelling, and I think we have to think of an opening for you. You know, I'm a Dodgers fan. It's opening day today, and Vin Scully would always say, it's time for Dodger baseball. So I don't think that will make me popular with this particular audience.
I hope we haven't lost any listeners yet.
But I'm great, and this is, you know, I think a big time for the region. You know, there's so many challenges, but with challenge comes opportunity, right? And you've been very clear helping this region understand that entrepreneurs are the answer. And so now we're taking the next step to help those entrepreneurs with the Sacramento Growth Factory.
I agree. And this factory, and we'll talk about this in a minute, factories don't get built by one person. So as I guess somebody who's painted a picture of what we might become, painted the picture of my backyard and these 100 millionaire business partners that all love each other, surrounded by their investor partners, our expert partners, and this group of people that really are going to help put Sacramento on the map, change the trajectory, ignite the entrepreneurial revolution. These factories, they don't get built alone, and they really need an architect. And in our case, you are the chief architect. If I am the visionary, if I am the chief dreaming officer, you are the chief architect of this growth factory. So maybe you can sort of set the stage for what we're building, and I can fill in some color, and we can have a conversation about this dream that is in the process of coming true.
Yeah, happy to. And I think it starts with the why, right? You know, we've learned in previous episodes about amplifying your why. And I think we would be remiss if we didn't tell people why we're doing this. And, you know, you also say you have to, you know, get in the game, you have to get bruises, you have to get scraped up. And so, yeah, I've had successes in business, but I've also had challenges in growing businesses in this exact region. And so, you know, I start when I think about our why, and I go back to how we first met, which was with a company I was with called Protex, right? And so Protex was a wearable sensor worn on the back of the head. I actually brought, for those on the, the YouTube, I brought a little example. And, you know, this was a great story. You know, we started with, for those of you that aren't watching the YouTube, I'm showing some examples, but we started with a logo and a pitch deck, you know, and actually a 3D printed sensor and some data and a patent application. That was it, right? And then we got to, you know, the next phase of testing and then actually creating, you know, the actual device. And so, you know, this was a great opportunity. You know, when I first moved to Sacramento, I'd already been part of this other business. And then when we sold that business, I said, you know, I want to look at these entrepreneurial opportunities. And I started to talk to people in Sacramento about the entrepreneurial landscape. There was this camaraderie, right? There was this, you know, interest in helping each other. And I said, wow, what a great region for making this happen. And, you know, with Protex, when we first met, it was through the Sacramento Kings Capitalized Contest, which we won, right? And so we won the Kings Capitalized Contest. We won the Sacramento Innovation Awards. You know, everyone was excited. And, you know, just like the you talk about the architect role, I architect this opportunity to say, what does Sacramento love? It loves sports. What does Sacramento have a lot of as far as industry? Has a lot of healthcare. And so how do we bring these things together? And so we met with the Kaisers and the Sutters and the Dignities and the Kings and all these people. And I remember sitting in the GSEC office, you know, Greater Sacramento Economic Council, and they were very interested in supporting this, right? I wrote this press release of what could happen if we put Sacramento on the map by creating this program I called the Sacramento Sports Safety Study, you know, and so a theme around it. And, you know, they were very interested in helping. They made lots of introductions. But I remember sitting down with one of their managers and saying, you know, I'm happy to work hard, but it doesn't seem like it's very, you know, connected, right? You know, like everyone's enthusiastic and interested, but, you know, how do we help entrepreneurs succeed in this region, right? And there's so many great programs that already exist in Sacramento to help you get started. If you want a business plan, or if you want to learn about lean startup, or if you want, you know, to learn about, you know, customer solution value, all those things, right? There's lots of programs. But then, you know, it seems like the entrepreneurs, what we hear is they're getting stuck in that chasm, right? You know, they've got, you know, people that are enthusiastic, but how do they get to that early majority? And we both know that capital is one of the answers, and we're trying to get capital off the sideline. But the other answer is customers. And that's what Sacramento has, is plenty of customers, right? And so, you know, how do we, you know, incorporate these customers? And when I talk about Protex, you know, it ultimately didn't, you know, we did some pilots with the Sac Republic. It was fun. I mean, being out with the players, I have so many fun stories. But from a business standpoint, you know, there was nothing, you know, as far as customers coming together and expertise coming together. And, you know, that's really what inspired me to think about how do we take these companies that have already started and get them to the next level so that capital is not an issue. And, you know, I think about current companies, right? That was my story and my experience. But I think about current companies. I think about one like Humanly right now. So Humanly is one, you know, we've had pitch and we've had involved in the show. And, you know, I talked to Andrew and, you know, they just closed a round of $800,000 during COVID, which I think is a massive accomplishment. And Andrew is committed to Sacramento. Why? Because he's from here. He wants to be here. His family's here. But he hasn't raised a single dollar, you know, in Sacramento. And so, and they've been accepted to Y Combinator, right? Probably the world's most well-known accelerator out of San Francisco. They probably get hundreds of thousands of applicants, except less than 1%. And so how can a company that checks all those boxes, you know, not get any capital from Sacramento and not have any customers just lining up saying, we want to get behind you, we want to get behind you. And so that's a great example of, you know, Sacramento needs to bring, you know, a program together that gets those companies through that.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, if you think about what's missing, it's leadership is what I call it. It's an entity where somebody takes a holistic approach to developing the entrepreneur and the success of that business. And I agree that Sacramento has a lot of assets. And when you add them all up, and you mentioned a few, we talked about some of the people that are helping with business plans. We have venture capital companies that are friends of the show, Moneta Ventures, Impact VC, DCA Capital, Black Star, and so on. So there's a emerging venture capital industry. There are the SAC Angels and a group of other investors that are at the angel level and the seed level. There are also several service providers that really can help fill in the gaps that potentially a team doesn't have the wherewithal to spend money on at the earlier stages of their existence. So they need to be bringing in alliance partners. And one of the things I often say as well is nobody builds a truly great company alone. So it could be Andrew or the founders of Protex or anybody else. And really on an island, they're not quite so safe and they're not going to be so successful. But together, the power of with, anything is possible. And I think that that's what the Sacramento Growth Factory is all about. It's bringing the community together and building a custom solution a custom offering that does include the capital. It does include the right people, the experts and the customers and future teammates, and really shepherds that entrepreneur and his or her business to that next level so that they can reach their ultimate dream. And so I'm excited about this because now we can bring a company into the factory and really Haiti Biz can go hands-on. And that, to me, has been something we've been doing, but we haven't productized it, if you will. We've just been doing it in our one-off, in a silo. Now we are out here eliciting the friends and the relationships that we've built over this last several years through the podcast, through our investments, and so on. We're bringing this group of people together that care about helping entrepreneurs. They love Sacramento, and they're committed to doing whatever it takes to make sure that that this hometown that we love has the success that it deserves.
You're right. And, you know, you have a great analogy. You talk about making things easy and using handles, right? And I was thinking about that coming into this discussion. And it reminds me, you know, I've never climbed it, but I've seen, you know, people that climb Half Dome, right? And I can imagine, you know, some of the original people that showed up at Half Dome, and maybe they, you know, were at the bottom of, you know, the mountain, and they looked up on the horizon and they saw some of the top. So they knew you could get from the bottom to the top, but they're, you know, how? Right. And they would have to try to figure this out. But what happened, you know, the park said, hey, we're tired of people falling. We're tired of people failing. And so they added ropes, right? They added handles. And so now it's very clear, you know, when you get there, you follow the path, you use these handles, you use these ropes. And so to your point, Mark, you know, we're creating that experience, but it's, you know, we work with the entrepreneurs to understand exactly what their priorities are, exactly what, you know, their expertise and their experience is. So, you know, using the Half Dome analogy, right? If they're an experienced climber and they just need to know, hey, the last 10 feet, you know, where are my footholds, right? We can help them there. But if they show up and they're like, I don't have equipment, you know, I don't have the conditioning, right? I don't understand the weather patterns, right? Then we can help them there as well. So, you know, anywhere you are from the avid, you know, hiker that has climbed other mountains and just needs some expertise to the person who has the dream and the vision and you're committed, right? You still have to commit as an entrepreneur to say, I want to get to the top of that mountain and I'm willing to do whatever it takes, but I need that guide. Mm-hmm. And I need that guide to help me in all of these areas. And so that's why we really thought, and we listened to entrepreneurs and they said, yeah, you know, that's my challenge is that there's plenty of support to get started. But after that, you know, if I don't have immediate capital and I'm, you know, kind of pulled between these two masters of capital and customers, right? You know, the investors, they want the customers want the data. To get the data, you need the capital, right? And so I've been in that middle spot before where you're just getting pulled between these two masters. And so, you know, it's frustrating, it's fatiguing. And that's where, you know, why do 90% of companies fail? It's that moment, right, where they can't get through. And so, you know, we bring this experience together to help them get through that. And like you said, that's involving our partners, that's involving corporations, you know, government agencies that we're working with. And so it's curating this experience designed specifically for the company in mind.
I love it. Well, why don't you walk us through how the factory will produce these winners? I have examples of how we've done it without the product of the factory, right? There are definitely success stories that have been shared on this show. I'm wearing one of those success stories, the name of one of those success stories right here in Riznos. For those of you that might not be watching on YouTube or on social media, Riznos is one of my portfolio companies that had a nice exit recently. There are several in our portfolio that have had great success, including some very successful exits and even gone public. So I'll let you sort of direct the flow of this conversation, Rick, and let's let them know, let Sacramento know, let the entrepreneurs know what this really is going to look like.
Yeah. Great. So there's a couple of key areas we start to look at. And, you know, I just mentioned capital and customers, right? So we start and try to understand, you know, first and foremost, what their funding and financing plan is, right? So, you know, everyone is different. You know, a lot of people will think, oh, okay, for fundraising, I just need to have a pitch deck, right? Most people start with the pitch deck, maybe put an executive summary together. Then they learn, no, I need to have, you know, financial projections. I need to have, you know, an advisory board. And so there's other things that I need in place. And so, you know, and those are just the basics, right? Those will just, you know, get you a meeting. But if you're not having success, you know, what's the next step? And so we actually on, you know, in the area of funding and financing, we actually walk them through a system where we understand, you know, what do your financial projections look like? Because a lot of times entrepreneurs, you know, they say, oh, I need this much money, but, and maybe they have the use of proceeds, but not always, right? And, you know, you're usually not as detailed as they need to be about how I would use this money and what the milestones are, right? So how will this, you know, how long will this money last? What are the milestones I'm going to achieve? And how does this get me to the next level?
Interesting. When you talk about pitch decks, you know, you think about our team and the amount of pitches that I have heard is a lot. We have people that have come from the VC community, VC businesses, launched VCs on our team, and to get and you with your background, we've seen a lot of opportunities for people to grow in that area. In other words, we've seen a lot of crappy pitches, and you sit there as the investor who wants to be liked, you want to be loved, and they pitch, and they sort of want to pick your brain, but you don't want to pick them apart because you want to continue to build their confidence. It might not be the right pitch that motivates me to want to invest at the time, but I don't really feel myself in a position to sort of jump in and help, even though they're kind of asking for that. It's I don't want to be rude. I'm not here for that. I am promoting entrepreneurship, and as a coach, I want a coach where I can be helpful and continue. So I'll usually give a couple of nice words of encouragement, maybe an idea or two how to move forward, and I'll send them on their way. And I don't know how many of those have happened, sort of like that. And you think about it, where do they hang up? You're talking about the projections. So many times I'll ask a couple of basic questions around the financial forecast. How did you arrive at these numbers? And I don't really expect an entrepreneur who loves his product, wants to change the world, to be as good as a CFO. I don't expect that. But I do expect somebody to understand their numbers and how they got there and how they will get there. That's a key. The entrepreneur, the CEO, or whoever is pitching this needs to be able to articulate with confidence why they came to those numbers. And it's a common mistake that people come in sort of half-cocked in that realm. Yeah. How do we prepare them for that?
Well, you know, you spoke a lot about the pitch deck, and I think so much goes into the story of the business, and that's where it's more of an art, and that's why it can be confusing to an entrepreneur, because they'll pitch to 50 people, and they'll get 50 different opinions, right? And so, you know, where do you start, and what's right, and what's wrong? And I kind of use, you know, back to analogies, it's like building a house, right? And if you start with all the finishings and say, this is the paint and this is the furniture I'm going to use and all these things, but you don't have the infrastructure of the house, the right foundation, the electrical, the plumbing, that's the house, right? If you don't have that, you won't be able to live there. So you can have the best furniture and you can have the best, you know, art on the walls and all these great things. But, you know, if the electricity doesn't work and the plumbing doesn't work and the house is going to fall over, that's not a house. And it's the same thing. Where's the business, right? Investors want to know, is this a business? And so that's where we come in with the system of, you know, going through and building the financial model, helping them understand, you know, how their, you know, working capital works and creating a system to actually, you know, look at that. And then also helping them efficiently understand how do they seek investors and build their pipeline, right? Because you can waste a lot of time, you know, just pitching to whoever will listen. And, you know, they're not, you know, maybe they're not even accredited investors, right? Or maybe they don't have a track record. Maybe they don't understand your industry. So, you know, all of these things we find, not all of them, but, you know, some of these elements are missing in all cases. And that's where we come in and, you know, customize that, but give them the system, right? You need to have a business and you need to be able to sell the business. And so the pitch is only the story of the business.
Yeah.
And that's what you alluded to, is that, you know, if you start to get in the details and there's not a business there, you're not going to be interested as an investor.
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't really think there's anything like this now in Sacramento. We know that there are incubators. We know that there are accelerators. We know that some are in and around the Northern California region. Of course, there's tons of these in the Bay Area and in the Silicon Valley. But there's not a single one-stop shop in Sacramento that will customize the solution for you. And even in the ones in the Bay Area, typically you're going into a group, right? You go into an accelerator program, you're in a group, and it's what I've found, it's a little bit, and what I've heard, it's a little bit like maybe I'll use the analogy of going to college, right? And you got to get your general ed out of the way. So there's a lot of general education sort of things that happen in these accelerators. And it's not bad. It's good. But what if you could fast track that? What if you didn't have to sit through the stuff that maybe you're already strong in, or your team is already strong in, and you could be focused in on the most important things, and you alluded to that, or not alluded to that, you were straightforward with, we need customers, right? Why do businesses fail? They don't sell anything, right? That's what, and then they quit, right? So we have to stop that from happening, right? We have to get them driving revenue so that they don't quit, right? Or continuing to raise money so that they don't quit.
Yeah, I was just talking to a candidate for the Growth Factor yesterday, and she was, you know, she's going into her second interview for an accelerator, and she's saying, yeah, this is my exact dilemma, right? So I can give equity, and there's great accelerators out there, right? You know, there's accelerators can be very helpful, especially if they are well connected on the investor side. But, you know, all accelerators are not created equal, and she was saying, look, you know, can I give up 12 weeks of my time? And do I really need to learn about value proposition anymore? And for maybe the chance to meet some good investors, right? You know, versus saying, you know, I only have 6 weeks. What can I accomplish in 6 weeks? And my priorities are, yeah, I need this financial system to help me with my fundraising. And I need this customer acquisition test to happen. And I need it to happen, you know, in rapid succession, right? So I need that customer data. I need this financial system, and that's what's going to help that company. And they only have 6 weeks, right? I mean, when you're an entrepreneur in a startup, you may not 12 weeks is a long time, and you may not have 12 weeks to go and be fully dedicated. Sometimes you have to, you know, we've had people in our portfolio actually move to a different region for that time frame, right? I mean, that's a major commitment. And so we're really saying, you know, we can, you know, work with you on your priorities. And to your point, you know, it starts with the systems and it starts with the, you know, the customized experience, but it's also our partners, our investor network, you know, what you've really started, Mark, in this region, which is all the conversations. And so we can accelerate it by saying, great, you know, the companies we're already working with, the Growth Factory, it's like, okay, this is your customer profile. We know three people that are your ideal customers. So we're gonna do at least some rapid tests with them, pilots, if you will, so that we can get that quick data. That data feeds into the financial model. That financial model helps you get investment, right? So they're all connected, you know, but it's important to know that, you know, each company has a different team with different experience, with a different product, with different challenges. And so there's no secret sauce or, you know, crazy solution that we've come up with. It's just the right time, the right people, and the right network, and a good design. I mean, you know, we're really being thoughtful about the design, and that's because, you know, we've got nearly 40 companies in the portfolio. And so, you know, we've really asked them about what the pain points are. And, you know, we've seen what Sacramento has to offer, and we've seen the challenges. And so,
and I would suggest that if we do have a secret sauce, we aren't keeping it a secret, but I don't believe that we're now considered a tier two type of entrepreneurial town, right? The tier ones, we know of those. We mentioned them in the Bay Area and other areas, right? There's tier one. And, you know, so in order for Sacramento to become a tier one, we're going to need to create these success stories, right? And we have a few that are emerging, some that have happened, but we need a number of them. And I believe that there is a local advantage, right? And if that's not a secret sauce, I think it's uniquely possible in Sacramento because of something that you said at the beginning of the show. Sacramento people have the right attitude. We have the right belief in love of our hometown. We're good people. We're just missing the place, the avenue to contribute to. That is the Sacramento growth factory. And I think creating that really is the fact that it's local, where you can actually have a beer with somebody on your advisory board. They aren't across the nation. As much of society is moving toward this global sort of embracing the globalism effect, I think that there is a coming localism. And, you know, technology makes it easy to go anywhere, but there's nothing like, we can still use technology to be hyper-local, and I think that that's what we're doing here, is we've still got all the same technology but staying hyper-local allows people to be working with people they know, they trust, and are pre-vetted in a way that that demonstrates the fact that they believe what we believe. So yeah, local is our secret sauce, if there is one.
Yeah, you and I have both been reading that book, The New Localism, right? And it talks about that, which is, you know, globalization was the future, and now that's being challenged. And when you look at, you know, everyone talks about Silicon Valley and Austin and you know, New York, but, you know, they look at case studies like Indianapolis, right, and Pittsburgh and Copenhagen, and how they have really brought together, you know, all of the right players. And, you know, that's where it starts with us, is we've built this community, right? We know all of the players that can help, and we know the ones, you know, that have the experience and the expertise that we can include, you know, in this program. But it's also, you know, so it's starts with the conversation, right? And the local element helps you have better, more meaningful, genuine conversations, right? And then it's the commitment. And you've been great in bringing people into the room to start those conversations. People have committed before, and now we're getting into the next phases that, you know, this movement talks about, which is the design, and then, you know, the metrics and the systems, right? The continuous improvement, plan, do, check, act. So you can get people in a room and people could say, I'm committed. And then, you know, after three committee meetings, it's like, well, I've got other things going on, right? And so the design has to be really looking at, for all of these stakeholders, what's in it for them, right? It starts with what's in it for them, and they should be vocal about that. And so we're really transparent, and when we put these partners into this community, about what's in it for them, right? You know, there's plenty of people that, you know, they want to help and they want to volunteer, but we know they might not be fully committed. No fault of their own, right? But they're going to have motivations and things that pull on them. And so when we get people involved, you know, we know what's in it for them, and that what's in it for them aligns, you know, intrinsically with what we're doing. And so the design piece and then the metrics piece, you know, not only so we can rapidly measure the success of these companies and tell the success stories, but that's going to, you know, help these companies get to their next milestone.
Yeah. Okay. What else do they need to know? How do we make sure that Sacramento knows what we're in the process of doing? What else is part of this this release?
Yeah. So, you know, it starts with, you know, let me just cover the key areas. So I start with funding and financing, you know, customer acquisition and helping these companies build their customer acquisition strategy, or if that's channel partner strategy, but doing these, you know, quick tests, right? And so whether those are pilots with our corporate partners, you know, or whether that's, you know, digital marketing and helping show how they can, you know, drive down their customer acquisition costs and build lifetime value and all those things that investors want to know, right? You know, what is the business? And so, you know, we build a system for, you know, rapid tests and pilots with customer acquisition. And, you know, we're leveraging what Sacramento has, which is there are plenty of customers here, right? There are large, you know, corporations that are headquartered here. I always tell people, because they're surprised, that the largest health insurance group in the world is in Sacramento. And most people don't know that. It's VSP. And it's because their vision insurance specialized, but 80 million members, right? So, I mean, if you were trying to be in health insurance, wouldn't you want to start with the largest health insurance provider in the world? And so it's a great example of, and they've been very entrepreneurial, right? With VSP the Shop and Jay Sales and that team that, you know, have really, you know, shown how they can take a big, big company and make it entrepreneurial, right? And they actually created, you know, their program where they would have, you know, this like sabbatical where if someone, an employee came up with an idea, they could take 90 days off from their job and go and work on this idea and work on this, you know, new opportunity. And so, you know, that's just one example of the customers that we can connect with. So customer acquisition strategy is big. We also find, you know, needing advisors with expertise, right? And you could spend a lot of time trying to find these advisors and trying to onboard them and trying to manage them. But, you know, we really bring the systems together to help them build the advisory board, to recruit the right advisors, to make sure, again, for the advisors that what's in it for me is connected, right? That, you know, it's not just a volunteer and then after they get busy, you never hear from them, right? We've all, you know, most of us have experienced that type of relationship. And again, it's about intentional design. And then the last piece is executive support, right? You know, one of our pilot companies in the growth factory is a solopreneur, right? And she's fiercely dedicated, has a great product, is showing amazing, you know, traction. But, you know, one day she has to be the CFO, the next day she has to be the COO, the next day she has to be the CTO, right? I mean, that's not sustainable, right? And she will admit it, you know, right off the bat. It's like, I need that executive support, right? I need someone with operational experience helping me with inventory and helping me with the vendors. I need someone with the financial experience helping me with the models and the projections and the numbers. I need someone with the chief marketing background to help me with this digital advertising and this testing and content, right? But, you know, is she going to go, does she have the money now to hire a CTO, a CFO, a CMO, a COO? No, right? And, you know, does she even want to rush that, right? So we can come alongside her and say, great, we have the depth and the bench at Haney Biz and with our partners to fill in those roles and fill it in a way that, again, is intentional, right? Our goal for this particular company is 10x sales in, you know, 12 to 16 weeks, right? Can we take those sales and multiply them by 10 in no longer than 16 weeks? That's the scoreboard, right? And so, you know, that's a big part of it is, you know, all of those four pieces, funding and financials, customer acquisition, advisory board, and executive support.
And one of the things that, too, that I think needs to be recognized is that our team is uniquely qualified. And, you know, I don't want to toot my own horn. Some of people know I've had some success, but what I commit to bringing to our portfolio companies when they come on board, but also the members of the factory, is you get me in a way that says, you know, I want to help you. And what that might mean is a kick in the butt from somebody who knows that you have more to give, you have more gas in the tank. You have you've got some things that everybody can see need to be fixed, and we need to fix those. And come on now, and a little bit of that Coach Haney coming out, but also balanced with the understanding that building a business can bring even the toughest of hombres to their knees. And I think you're not just a number. You're not just one of the people in an accelerator. You're part of our family when you come in to the Haney Biz factory. That's what my portfolio partners are to me today. They're in my backyard. I love these people. And I think in many ways they love me back. And it's a rewarding feeling. And you talk about why we do things, the purpose, and that feeling to me is second to none. To know that I am helping somebody to achieve their dreams, to create opportunity for the people that they care about in their lives, and simultaneously it helps the hometown that I love. I mean, there's no more rewarding feeling in the world than seeing somebody you love have some success. And so I am committed to helping entrepreneurs, small business people find that success.
Yeah, and there's so many great examples, Mark, about your experience and your commitment to helping entrepreneurs succeed in this region. You know, you started with Rizno's. You know, Jordan Darling's been a topic, you know, and we just did a video case study. And you haven't even seen it yet, but he says, Mark gave me hope, right? And so he came alongside me. He was the first check writer, but most importantly, he gave me hope. And we have been friends since then, right? He never said, oh, he was an investor. He's a nice, you know, it was genuine. You know, he is my friend and he gave me hope. You know, when I talk to people like Greg Conley at Trifecta, I mean, hugely successful company in Sacramento. And, you know, Greg doesn't say Mark Haney is an investor. He says, you know, Mark Haney is a friend and I want to see Mark Haney succeed. He has taken it on, you know, as one of his personal missions to help this be successful. And, you know, that's because of your commitment and your sacrifice and you starting this whole thing. Trifecta and Greg is a great example of why we need to come together in this region. Over $100 million in annual revenue. And you'd say, look, you know, if you get to a million, you're a business. If you get to 10 million, you're, you know, fundable even at the private equity level. If you get to 100 million, you have that chance to be an enterprise, right? And so he's at that level, you know, but when you think about it, and we've talked about the show of how he's built the business with, you know, the digital advertising, the influencers, you know, it would make more sense for him to be in LA. It would make more sense for him to be in Vegas with the UFC, one of his big partners, but he has chosen and committed to Sacramento. And so, you know, where is, you know, Kaiser Permanente or a Sutter Health working with him on precision nutrition and, you know, introducing these things? Where are the big employers that could be, you know, helping him grow his business, knowing that it is good for the region, right? And so it's just another great example of, you know, Trifecta has succeeded in some cases in spite of Sacramento versus because of Sacramento.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I don't want to see that happen, right? And so that's the commitment that we're making. But it all started with, you know, just like you said, the sacrifice you've made previously and the sacrifice you're willing to make for all these companies as part of the growth factory.
And I think the other, if there's another secret sauce associated with the relentlessly local attitude and the love for our hometown and me at some level, but our team is second to none. And I think people, we don't often share the stories of some of our portfolio companies that have experienced Haney Biz going hands-on. One that comes to mind as you're thinking about these stories is a guy by the name of Justin Booth. Justin Booth was the owner of Crown Distributing. They had restaurant supplies, and we invested into that company, helped him grow his business, and ultimately helped him to make an acquisition that was very strategic. He gobbled up another local restaurant supply company. The only problem is when that happened throughout the integration, the wheels came off the car, if you will, right? Because anybody who's ever made an acquisition knows that integrating two cultures, integrating two sets of operating systems, integrating two sets of everything can be a nightmare when you've never done it before. And that's what happened to Justin Booth. The wheels came off the car, and I don't think he would mind me telling this, and he's been on this show to talk about this. I mean, it brought him to his knees. He was going out of business. He was not going to make it. So what did we do? We recruited a general manager from one of our other portfolio companies. We took the best employee from one of our other portfolio companies. That portfolio company made the sacrifice and gave them this this guy named Tom Cisneros, who is just a gem and a leader, became their general manager. That was the first fix after after providing all this extra, I guess, support around IT and data and things like that. And then our accounting and finance team went hands-on to make sure that he got his bills paid, right? We made a follow-on investment. We ended up helping him to survive. And the acquisition turned out to be, as much as it was unsuccessful at the beginning, it was successful enough where he ended up ultimately achieving his goal, which is to get acquired by a much larger strategic distributor. And so he's since had a nice exit. And you think about that, it started with him wanting to build a company and wanting to get this exit. And part of the way he was going to do this was by making an acquisition and growing organically. When that finally was possible, and I would say mainly because of the Haney Biz team, not Mark Haney, the Haney Biz team going hands-on, that became possible. He ultimately had this nice exit, and I think he's certainly a friend for life. And I credit that success to people working together who believe that not only is failure not an option, success is not an option.
Yeah, and you know, when we started to look at people who'd be interested in supporting the Growth Factory, guess who one of the first people who lined up to help was?
Was it Justin?
Justin Booth.
Wow, yeah.
And that's because, you know, he's been through that. He knows what we're capable of. And he also knows what he learned, and he doesn't want other people to have to, you know, go through that if they don't have to. If they can have the right team, they don't have to have all the stress he had before then. And, you know, they can have this team, you know, rally around and help, you know, be successful. You know, he wants to be part of those success stories. And so it's another great example.
It's a great example. So we got a great community. We just need to come together. We've got a great team here at Haney Biz. We just got to come together with the community. And we have a great network of experts and influencers and strategic additions from an advisory level or beyond. And now we just need to come together. And now we have the mechanism to help that come together beyond just a podcast, beyond just investing here and there. We have a factory where everybody can kind of come into the factory, pick up a wrench and start building stuff.
You're exactly right. Yeah. So we've talked a little bit about, you know, what it includes, the program, right? So I should talk a little bit about how we get people started, right? So if they're interested, they can go to our website, haneybiz.com/capital, and they can fill out a very simple application. And that's really where we start, is a simple assessment discovery process to understand where are those priorities, right? Where are the challenges? Where are the priorities? And, you know, then we build that custom program. And that includes not only all the systems that I talked about, but the right people, you know, the right partners. And that's where we'll be leveraging that network where, you know, where we can put together these quick pilots and these quick wins. We're going to be rallying Sacramento around these companies and, you know, lifting these companies up right here in Sacramento and helping them succeed.
Yeah. Excited about that. What else do they need to know, Rick? What else do we need to make sure we get across in today's podcast?
Yeah. So, you know, I think a lot of people will be interested in, you know, what is included and, you know, about fees and, you know, other kind of details like that. And so in 2020, we are looking at helping people participate, you know, for a mix of equity or fees. And so we're trying to be really flexible, you know, with helping people get through this very challenging, you know, climate as far as investment, right? And, you know, we're also working on, you know, the investor network and bringing capital off the sidelines. And so, you know, that's really important as well. So basically, they just need to start a conversation with us, right? You know, we're not making it very rigid where it's like, oh, you will apply and you'll hear back in 16 weeks and so many people are accepted. We're going to have a conversation with everyone. And, you know, if it's just, hey, you're not ready yet because you haven't built, you know, the very simple foundations, we have the partners to help them there. And that's fine, right? But if they're ready and they're interested, they'll get an opportunity to participate, right? And so it's just looking at, you know, if they're ready and, you know, building the right program for their particular company.
It all starts with a conversation. Rick, I want to thank you for architecting this effort, this factory, the building of this. We are at the beginning, even though we've been working at this for several years. We're really at the beginning of something very, very special. If you want more information on the Sacramento Growth Factory, find me on social media. Send me an email. You know where I'm at. I'm good old Marky from down on the block. I am easy to get a hold of. I am highly approachable, as anybody who knows me is aware. And you know what? I want to help you to grow your business, because I want to help you achieve what you want for your family, for your friends, and of course, for the hometown that we love. Thanks for listening to The Mark Haney Show. It's our goal to inspire, educate all the up-and-coming entrepreneurs so they can change the world. If you like today's episode, please subscribe, write a review, and share it so we can help more entrepreneurs unleash their full potential.